That's a loaded question, and it's definitely one that I get all the time.
I asked you guys to send me your questions, marketing related, business related, personal related, and I'm going to quickfire answer some today.
If you were a new product-based business, where would you invest your marketing effort? Would love to know how you hired your first team member, the most valuable piece of advice you received when starting your career. What are your best tips for social media growth on Instagram? How do you prioritize yourself when you have a business and team? What's the best and worst parts about running an agency? I could probably write a book on this. Hello, my name is Jarrah and I am the founder and managing director of Jampact Agency. Digital marketing is my jam and I am on a mission to help you make it your bread and butter. So whether you're building your brand, building your business, if you work in marketing, or maybe you're just interested in knowing how the experts do it, you're in the right place. Hello and welcome to the Jampact Podcast, episode 8. Today we're doing something a little bit different. I asked you guys to send me your questions, marketing related, business related, personal related, and I'm going to quickfire answer some today. The questions that you guys sent through were so juicy and some of them I get asked quite often. So it was really nice to sit down, have a think about my answers beforehand, and come on here and talk to you guys a bit about my journey, some challenges I've faced as a business owner, where I see the marketing industry going, what I'd do if I was a business starting all over again, product or service based. And yeah, just help you guys to get to know me a little bit better and get to know my journey after 6 years in the marketing industry and 6 years in business. So the first question was, if you were a new product-based business, where would you invest your marketing effort? So this is a really good question because we have product-based businesses approach us all the time wanting to invest in agencies and agency services. And often they're not quite ready yet because they haven't invested in an overarching brand strategy. So I want to preface before I get into the meat of this question that before you start thinking about any marketing, you want to make sure that you've got your brand strategy down pat because it is a different thing to your marketing strategy. We did an episode on this. It's episode number 5 on the Jampact podcast, all about branding, all about brand strategy. I really recommend that you go and listen to that one if you are a new business or a new product-based business. But the new product-based businesses who come to us who are ready already have this in place. And a brand strategy isn't just your goals as a brand, your values, your vision, your target audience, and your brand identity, although that stuff is so important. What a brand strategy should also do is allow you to be crystal clear on what your unique brand positioning is and what your unique selling points are. The brands that I see do really well are the ones that have something truly unique about them. So, for example, is it a social cause that you support? Is it the niche or a specific problem that you solve? Is it the results that your product actually brings? Is it the look of your product itself? Is it the price point? Is it your marketing itself, or is it your brand personality? This is the first place I'd be investing my effort, which I know doesn't exactly answer the question yet, but I think it's something worth mentioning before we get into your marketing efforts, because amazing marketing is never going to fix a shitty brand or a shitty product. You need to nail that first before you can expect your marketing to move any kind of needle. If you do feel that you've nailed the brand strategy side of things and you know what your unique selling points are and what your brand positioning is, the first place that I would be investing my marketing efforts would be into the content itself. I've said it before and I'll say it again, but the only way that you can truly expect to see success on social media is by consistently putting out amazing content, not by consistently putting out subpar content and expecting it to make waves. Now, if content and social media marketing isn't a strong point of yours, the first place that I would be investing any time or resources is in either learning that yourself or outsourcing aspects of it. With that said, though, even if you are investing a lot of time into learning content marketing, there is definitely a point where you want to be honest with yourself as to, is this something that you see yourself as the business owner ever being able to nail? A lot of us go into business with different skills, whether it's in finance, whether it's in product development, whether it's in marketing,
And if marketing isn't your strong point and you don't really see yourself truly understanding the depths of social media, maybe you didn't grow up with it, maybe it's just not something of interest to you, I do think you need to be quite honest with yourself about that and outsource the aspects of marketing, especially when it comes to content that you never see yourself nailing yourself as a business owner, because you can put in effort to learn and do it yourself, but you are going to see better results if you have somebody who is immersed in the social media world, understands it like the back of their hand, and can create content that is truly going to speak to your audience and free up your time to focus on the things that you're good at. And I know that's really tricky because when we go into business, we're not making any revenue, we're not making any profit. So it's really hard to pull that money out of somewhere and actually invest it and trust somebody to do a good job. But that's why not everybody goes into business. And that's why it is a risk that you have to take. And I really genuinely believe that in 2024, in this day and age, content marketing and the content you're producing for your brand itself is the single most important marketing material that you can be investing in at the start. Because yes, there's things like paid ads, there's things like SEO, there's things like email marketing, there's TikTok, there's Instagram, there's LinkedIn. There's so many different places that you can be investing your time, but you will never nail it on any of those platforms if you don't have amazing content to start with, whether that's video content, static content, photos, written content, blogs, podcasts, whatever it is. You need to have amazing content first as a brand before you can invest in any other marketing materials. I'll also mention that when you are launching a new product-based business, you do really need to be curious as to what's going to work with your brand. I spoke a little bit about this on episode 6, TikTok, where I said you need to go in with zero expectations. And I do think it would be the same if you were launching a new product-based business and getting and immersing yourself into the content world for the first time. This is the time that you want to be testing as many different content types as possible and figuring out what it is that speaks to your unique target audience and what communicates your unique selling points. For example, there's some really cool brands out there that their unique selling point isn't actually anything to do with the product themselves. It's the messaging that they have behind the brand. It's the brand personality. It's how they are communicating with their customer. A really great example of this is Frank Body, where, yeah, they have amazing products and it's a great brand, but the brand personality is what really kicked them off in the beginning, because I remember they would speak in first language. So the brand would speak as if it was a person. And I'm sure there's other brands that have done this before, but I really feel like Frank Body nailed this in their early days as a brand. And now they're thriving. The next question isn't so marketing related, it's business related. And you asked, would love to know how you hired your first team member. Were they a subcontractor? Did they evolve into being a full-time team member? And how did that look financially? That's a loaded question, and it's definitely one that I get all the time. I do find it hard to answer because I wasn't exactly following any sort of formula or strategy at the time of hiring. But when I look back on almost every single hire that I've made, actually, I do now see a pretty clear pattern, and that is hiring people before we're ready every single time we need to hire. So essentially hiring someone before we actually have the work for them and before we could actually afford them. So when I made my first hire, she came on board and she definitely had work, but it wasn't enough work to fill up her full-time role. But what I did was I hired somebody who could take the majority of what I was doing every single day off my plate so that it could free up my time to focus on bringing in more work. So essentially, every time I've hired, it has been a risk that I'm in a way front-loading the team. I'm hiring someone before we actually need them so that I can essentially double our capacity as a business and have the time to bring in the work to fill up that capacity. And then I just repeat that process. There has been times where I've needed to hire someone quite quickly to fill a gap. Maybe we have more work than we expected, or maybe there's less capacity in the team than we anticipated. And when things happen that way, that's when things end up usually going wrong, because one, you have to hire quite quickly, and two, you kind of need that person to be able to come in and hit the ground running. Whereas when you hire before you're ready, Yes, it's a sacrifice. Yes, it's a risk, but it means that you are essentially able to train up that person because you've got the time. They are coming into a workload that feels really realistic for somebody who is new to the business. They can learn the ropes, they can learn their role. And then by the time that you actually do end up filling that person's books and filling up the capacity, they know exactly what they're doing. They can hit the ground running and we don't risk damaging any client relationships. So my advice if you are a one-person band and you're wanting to grow your team would be to start small, potentially hire a subcontractor. The first time I hired, it was a subcontractor, and over time her role evolved into part-time and then it evolved into full-time. So I would recommend if you are more comfortable with the subcontractor role, especially if you're in social media marketing, go ahead with that. Focus your time onto bringing in more work so that you can fill up that person's capacity and grow that person into a full-time role. I also want to say that you will make mistakes in this process. Scaling a team and people managing for the first time is a huge learning process. So just expect that mistakes will happen. Things won't go exactly to plan every time. But the best thing that you can possibly do is hire before you're ready, and sacrifice profit is always my preferred strategy rather than hiring someone in a rush and risking that client satisfaction because they're kind of coming in a little bit blind and rushing into the work. Third question is, what's the most valuable piece of advice you received when starting your career? I really had to think about this question because there isn't really, to be honest, a quote or a piece of advice that sticks out to me from early on in my career that has shaped too much of what I do today. But what I did find incredibly valuable at the beginning of my career, and I guess the kind of advice that I was given, was that I was surrounded by people who truly believed in me and they truly wanted to support every little thing that I did and they wanted to see me succeed. And I think when you're surrounded by this kind of energy, it's so much easier to actually believe in yourself. So whether it's the immediate people in your friendship circle or your family, maybe it's your work colleagues, maybe it's your manager or the leaders or mentors in your life, the most valuable thing that you can be around is people who truly do want to see you succeed. And this is still the case for me years into my business journey. So yeah, I guess you could say the best piece of advice I was ever given was to truly believe in myself. And that's not to say to expect that I will be able to get through my career without any bumps in the road or setbacks or challenges, but to have faith in myself that no matter what my career path throws my way, I will be able to be agile, I will have a support network around me, and I will be able to deal with that when it comes, whatever that may be. I also think that if you have this confident energy about yourself and you do truly believe in yourself, I think that actually opens you up to bringing in more amazing opportunities because that is what people will sense. They'll sense that energy from you and they'll want to be a part of that. So for example, when I started my business, I was fresh out of high school. I had no experience except for working in cafes. I'd been a checkout chick. I was working with the glamping company, setting up tents. So the corporate world, the marketing world was completely foreign to me. I had no experience, but I knew that I was really good at social media and I knew that I had a marketing wired brain. So I did truly believe in myself and I truly believed in the impact that I could make on businesses. And I remember to this day being on sales calls as a new business owner and trying to sell my services to these brands. And I really think that was the energy still to this day that sells our services because they can see that I'm confident in what I do. I believe in myself and that is an infectious energy that people want to be a part of. So I'm not here to preach fake it till you make it because I don't exactly agree with that. But I am saying that you do need to believe in yourself and be confident enough in what you do and what you can learn in order to succeed. I don't think that you need to believe that you're the best. I don't think that you need to believe that you're better than anyone else out there or believe that you're going to get it perfect. But I do think you just need to believe in your capabilities as a business owner, as a marketer, as whatever it is that you're investing your time into. I also want to say that something I did early on and still to this day in my career is say yes to pretty much everything. Obviously, that excludes the things you really don't want to do, but I guess what I'm more meaning to say yes to the stuff that really scares you. In fact, especially the stuff that really scares you, because even if it feels out of your depth and out of your scope,
It's those experiences that are going to drive your career forward and unlock a new passion. Maybe you'll have some sort of epiphany as to where you want to take your career path. But yes, saying yes to things that scare me has been the single biggest thing that has kept me moving forward in my career and kept me growing in my skill set and in my career path in general. The next question on the list is, what are your best tips for social media growth on Instagram? I would recommend going and listening to, I think it's episode 4, Instagram. Gabby and I sat down and we unpacked all things Instagram, and pretty much everything, if not everything on that podcast, is still 100% relevant to Instagram today. So that was filmed less than a year ago. Definitely go and listen to that one. But when I think about the times that I have seen our Instagram following grow the most is when we run campaigns. An example of this would be when we rebranded Jampacked last year. So if you guys followed us, you might know this, but I didn't realize it at the time that when we were rebranding our name and rebranding our agency, we were essentially running one big campaign around our rebrand. So I documented the journey of our rebrand. I filmed myself in meetings to do with the rebrand and I turned it into content. I transparently shared the challenges that we faced along the way. I reached out to our audience and I got their opinions on key decisions about the rebrand. I was dropping hints every single week as to what the new name was. I had a lot of mystery about the rebrand. And I basically just told a lot of different stories and essentially documented the journey so that by the time it came around to actually launching the rebrand, there was so much hype around it that honestly, Kylie, the brand strategist we were working with, and I were shocked and so excited about the amount of people that were also excited to see what we were changing our name to. And during this whole process, our followers definitely grew so much quicker, which was a really important reminder for me when it comes to social media marketing, that it really is important that you're running mini campaigns outside of your everyday content. And this is something we've started adding into our own content and for clients every single day. I definitely think I could probably dedicate a whole episode to this in terms of mini campaign marketing and running campaigns across your social media and Instagram. But I do want to recommend that you check out Fee from Peach Business. She's actually a mentor of mine, but she nails her campaign. She does a lot of mini campaigns across her social media. She actually got me involved in one recently where she is a finance coach. So she interviewed a lot of her female clients about what it's like to be a woman in business. And she asked them big questions that not a lot of people are very transparent about when it comes to their finances. And then she essentially cut it up into mini pieces of content and turned that into a campaign. Her following grew quite quickly, I'm pretty sure, because I know that even just from me being in the content, my following grew from just being involved in that campaign. So go and check out Fee. That isn't the only campaign that she's done. A lot of other mini campaigns that I've seen spike big things in her engagement, big things in her followers. She's definitely somebody who nails this marketing side of business. And she's very inspiring when it comes to how you can actually do mini campaigns. But as I said, this is definitely something I'll come back to and probably do some sort of solo episode about campaigns because there's so much to unpack there. But yeah, when it comes to growth on Instagram these days, it's definitely thinking outside the box of your everyday content and doing things that are different, creative, and building up hype around what it is that you're doing. The next question is, I'd love to hear how you manage your time/work-life balance. How do you prioritize yourself when you have a business and team? This is another question I actually get all the time, which is definitely a point of pride for me that I do feel like maybe 80% of the time I have this nailed, but I also find this question pretty hard to answer because I don't have a particular action or formula that I think is helping me nail this. I think my work-life balance is literally just instilled in me. I grew up with a dad who runs businesses and he has always had a really inspiring career. But outside of work, he's just as inspiring with the things that he's always doing. So as a kid, I remember we would always be out adventuring, rock climbing, doing yoga, going on trips to the beach, going on bushwalks. And dad loved that stuff. It was like what fired him up. But he also had a really successful career alongside that. So I think definitely helped having that example for me growing up.
So while I don't have an exact answer as to how to manage your work-life balance, it does make me think of a piece of advice that I got from another mentor of mine, Blake Worrell Thompson. And I think this was about a year ago. I was doing his course, Life by Design. And one of the things that he runs you through in that course is basically establishing what he calls your values hierarchy. And it's essentially where you choose the five things in life that are the most important to you and you live by them. I think a lot of us understand the concept of values, but what Blake showed me that has definitely stuck rent-free in my brain to this day is that a lot of us do write out our values and understand our values, but we're not actually living by them every single day. So what Blake taught me was that once you establish what your values are, it's actually really important that you put daily habits into your schedule that are essentially ticking those boxes every single day. So for example, my values, I would say, are my health, having fun, connection and relationships, growth, and then career slash business slash money. So obviously it's all good and well for me to write these out and to say, yep, those are my values. But if something isn't in your top five values, it's also very unlikely that you're ever going to see success in it. So for example, if health was my seventh value or my seventh priority, it's pretty unlikely I'm going to see much success in that. So what Blake taught me was that how I'm living my life every single day has a lot to do with whether those values are showing up in my life. So for example, the particular behaviors that I'm putting in place on a daily basis is what has allowed those things to move up my values hierarchy. So because that is so ingrained in me now, and in terms of what my values are and what my daily habits are around those values, I definitely think that work-life balance honestly just comes very naturally to me because of the daily habits that I've gotten so used to doing. It's just brushing my teeth. I definitely want to say I'm not perfect at this. In fact, I rarely am ever perfect at this. It's a lifelong journey and a lifelong commitment to nail the work-life balance kind of thing. But I definitely think that moment with Blake really shaped my mindset around this. And if I do notice that, say, for example, my health is going down or I'm not having as much fun as usual or my career isn't growing as fast as I was expecting, that's when I check in on, okay, well, what are the daily habits that I'm actually putting in place at the moment that are striving me towards those things? So I feel like that kind of answers your question, kind of doesn't, but it's just something that I always like to think about when it comes to how I manage a personal life and a professional life in one. Another question that came up a lot was, what's the best and worst parts about running an agency? I could probably write a book on this, but the best parts about running an agency for me is, I guess, because it's really all that I know, but I have found it so rewarding to run an agency. I definitely prefer running an agency, even though we are only a team of five. I prefer managing a team than being a solopreneur. And that's not to say that's the right way to do it, but I've definitely learned over the years that's how I love things, because I love having a team. I love collaboration. And I actually remember really struggling in the early days when it was just me, because I was doing every single little thing that needed to be done and I wasn't good at all of it. Whereas now, as I've grown the business, I've been able to turn my role into something that is all things I'm really good at so that I can drive the business forward. And then I've hired people who are really good at the things that I can't do that our clients need or that our business needs, so that we have a humming team. So I would definitely say that having a team and people management is actually one of my favorite things about running an agency. Yes, it can absolutely be challenging. It's not always an easy thing, but I do find people management really quite rewarding. And I feel like it's connected me with some really amazing people in the industry. The other thing I love about running an agency is that when it comes to my career and when it comes to business, I really don't feel like there's any kind of ceiling as to where we can go and what I can do with my life, which gives me this really deep-rooted sense of purpose in my career. A lot of people actually sent through the question, what's your vision for Jampact? Where do you want to take Jampact? And I find that question very hard to answer, because it's essentially, I just want to take it as far as we can go. And I'm not saying that I want to grow to a 100-person agency or anything like that, because I am still deciding whether I want to stay small or kind of grow and keep scaling.
So it's nothing to do with the size of our agency, but it is to do with what kind of opportunities can come our way. And I think as an agency owner, one of the coolest things that has come from just running the business in general is actually working on my own personal brand and pushing myself and putting myself out there, which has then attracted more opportunities my way. So when people say, where do you want to take Jampact? I'm just kind of going along for the ride. And yes, there's a lot of strategy happening here and there's a lot of business development and goals that we're going after. But yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like there's any kind of ceiling as to what we can achieve, especially having, I feel like I've got a bit of time on my side being 25. I'm just so excited to see what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And you never know, I might actually get 5 years down the track and be like, hey, this isn't something I want to do anymore. I highly doubt that's going to happen. But yeah, I just love that the future is so unknown, but it's so promising and exciting. The worst part about running an agency, I guess, would be that it's just kind of relentless. And I'm learning that then you don't really get to a point, and this might be the case for other businesses as well, but you don't really get to a point in agency where it's like, perfect, done, we've nailed the formula. I can sit back and relax. I can let the team do all the work. I can go on holidays and my agency will just kind of run itself. I'm sure there's other agency owners that might have nailed that, but I'm learning that it is quite relentless and there always is pressure on because you do kind of constantly need to be filling up your bucket. So this was a metaphor that was shared with me at a breakfast run by Wise Up Marketing recently. And she shared this metaphor that when you're running a business, it's essentially like you're filling up a leaking bucket. There's a hole in the bottom and you're constantly having to pour water on the top to keep it full. And I thought that was such a good way to describe what it's like to run a business, run an agency, because as soon as you stop filling up the top, that's when things start feeling really tight and stressful and just the pressure gets really intense. So I guess one of the worst, or I wouldn't say the worst part, but just the most challenging part of running an agency for me is that it does feel relentless. And it does feel like, say, if I took 2 months off as a boutique agency and the person who's kind of in charge of filling up that bucket, the only person, it feels a bit stressful if I was to ever take more than, say, 2 months away from my business. And I remember, I think it was in 2022, I took a 6-week Europe trip with my best friend before she moved to London. And it was the best time of my life. I'd never take it back. But when I came back to my business, I do remember feeling a little bit stressed because the bucket was definitely half full and I needed to work extra hard to fill it back up again. So yeah, I'd say that's the most challenging part, is just the relentlessness of agency life. And again, I'm going to word this as challenging because it's not the worst part of running an agency, but I think coming into business, I was obviously 19. I didn't know anything. I really was such a rookie. I didn't even know what GST was. So coming into this world and having to learn so many things for the first time has been really challenging for me. And there's been times where I have cried a lot at my desk. And the only time that my business truly makes me cry is when I feel frustrated at myself that I don't know what I don't know. And I remember, I think it was 2021 or maybe 2022. I remember so vividly, I was sitting at my desk and I'd just gotten this huge tax bill that I had no idea was coming. I'm sure many of you in business can relate to that. And I just didn't understand how it had happened. And I was frustrated at myself that there were so many things about the finance side of business that I just don't know. And I really struggle to wrap my head around. So that to me is another really challenging thing, that on the finance side of things, I'm not the best. I'm definitely a marketing girl at heart. So that's the kind of stuff to me that, yeah, definitely feels super challenging. The next question is, what is your favorite aspect of marketing? And my answer to this is honestly just how fast-paced and how quickly things change, which I know might seem a little bit confusing because a lot of marketers find it frustrating when they finally find the winning formula and then there's a new platform or things don't work the way that they used to and you've got to change things up. But that to me is really exciting, that we do have to constantly be creative in the marketing industry because it's changing all the time. It's changing every single day. What might have worked a month ago could completely flop this month. And I think that means that we do need to have the creative juices flowing constantly, which to me is a lot of fun. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, you're not always going to be amazing at it, but it's what keeps me really passionate about what I'm doing because I can constantly think big picture stuff. I can strategize about different ideas that we might want to try instead of just doing the repetitive stuff over and over again. Because if you do get stuck in that, oh, we've noticed that our videos perform really well, let's just keep pumping out all of those videos again and again. After a while, that's going to get stale and stop working. And you want to get ahead of that. So constantly thinking of new ideas. So I'd say, yeah, that's my favorite part about marketing. And the last question is, who is your dream client? And there's so many. We actually have a list of 100 dream clients that we want to work with eventually, or at least some of them. But personally, I have this year started working with Australian cricket captain Pat Cummins, managing his social media. And it has been so much fun. I'm really loving the work. I find it so rewarding, so exciting. So I've got this idea. I'm not saying that I'm definitely going to be doing it, but I've got this idea to potentially launch some kind of sister company to Jampact that would be called something along the lines of Jampact Athletes or something, where we can bring on more athlete clients. So we've actually got a few in the pipeline at the moment, which I can't reveal too much about. But yeah, personally, I definitely love working with people in sport and people just in that space. But I know as a team, we love working with e-commerce clients. We love working with FMCG, for example, retail, wholesale, and that kind of thing. So we're the type of agency that we're not really niched into anything too specific. We love working across a range of different industries, whether it's service-based, product-based, or athletes. So yeah, that's probably what I'd say to that. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If I didn't answer your question, I'm so sorry. I thought that I would pick the ones that came up the most, but I'm definitely thinking of doing another episode like this down the track. If there's any questions that you want to pick my brain further about, please feel free to DM me on Instagram. And my last request is that if you found any value in today's episode, it would mean the world to me if you shared this episode to your Instagram stories or your network to help this humble little podcast reach more people. I really pour my heart and my wallet into every single episode, and seeing the episodes being shared is honestly what makes it all worth my time and my money. So if you could tag us at Jampact Pod or Jampact Agency, you can also find my personal profile on TikTok, LinkedIn, and Instagram at Jara Braley. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you in the next ep. Thank you so much for tuning in to Jampact Podcast. If you found any value or enjoyed today's episode, it would mean the world to me if you could share this episode to your Instagram stories or just to your network to help this humble little podcast reach more people. I really pour my heart into every episode on the Jampact Pod, and seeing the episodes being shared is honestly what makes it all worth it for me. So you can tag us at Jampact Pod or Jampact Agency. You can also find my personal profiles on TikTok, LinkedIn, Instagram, pretty much every single social media platform out there at Jara Braley. Thank you so much again for tuning in, and I will see you in the next episode.